Well, today we continue this series of messages on the new mission statement of our church. A couple weeks ago, we began with the first line, you are called by God. God calls each one of us to himself and to something to do. And 2 weeks ago, it was we are transformed by grace, that we just aren't called, but God begins this process of what we call sanctification or transformation, transforming us into the very image of Jesus Christ. And last week, great week, World Communion Sunday, we had Dr. David Vasquez Levy come, president of PSR, did a great job, didn't he? And what he spoke about really is also part of our vision statement. He spoke about, I loved his picture of the second helpings, of as a church, we give second helpings to signify and to help people live abundant lives, especially in terms of social justice. Now, today I want to come back and I want to talk, actually picking up on a lot of different themes here. If you read the statement, you'll notice that it's a very inward, outward, together statement, that God calls us on this inward journey, but we never do it alone, we do it together. And he calls us to then move outwards to serve him and to serve people in the world. So today I want to talk about how we serve. And one of the large parts of transformation, I believe, that often we miss is how God has designed each one of us. God has wired each one of us in a certain way, and our call really is influenced by how God has shaped us. So I want to look at that today, and specifically the issues of spiritual gifts. And at the end, I'm going to call my wife up, and I'm going to interview her for a number of reasons. Number one, it's been an amazing journey together and to watch her be transformed over our years together. So I want to interview her for that reason. Also, we could talk about the interview while we were drinking margaritas and watching the sunset last night. So added bonus. So two passages of the scripture today. First from 1 Peter. We have this as our assurance of pardon, but I'm going to read it again. And then from Romans. Listen to the word of God. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. If you needed some good news today, then just listen to that, what I just read. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And now from Romans 12, chapter or verses 1 through 8. Beautiful passage of scripture. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but what? Be transformed. I love that word. Metamorphosthai, where we get our word metamorphosis, obviously, by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for your life, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to the grace or in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. God, we pray that you would take these words and the meditations of my heart and speak to us a clear word today. God, I pray that that you would pierce our hearts with these words and prompt us to action and use them for transformation, not just information. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I believe so strongly that every human being, every one of us here, wants to make a difference with our lives. All of us, to one degree or another, want to know that at the end of our life, we can look back and know that the world is a little better place because we lived our life. We want to have purposeful, meaningful lives, don't we? We want them to count. Good news today, and I want you to hear this if you don't hear anything else today. God wants us to make a difference too. In fact, so much so that God has called and equipped and empowered each one of us in unique ways to do his good work in the world. God has wired each one of us in a certain way to make a unique contribution to this world. It's one of the great pieces of the great news that we have in the gospel, that God has designed each one of us in a unique way. Our scripture today, both of them talk about this, and I want to focus mostly on Romans. We come to the first verses of Romans 12. And if you've ever read Romans, you know that in the first 11 chapters, Paul writes his magnum opus. It's amazing. 11 chapters. He writes about God's amazing grace, how he has saved us, redeemed us, made us new people, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what he has done for us. Pure grace. And now as we come to chapter 12, it turns. Whenever you see a therefore, you know that it refers to all that was written before, or maybe the previous passage. And what Paul is saying is, okay, in light of God's mercy, or in light of all that I just told you about God's amazing grace and his plan for humanity in our lives, here's what I want you to do in response. I want you to give your lives back to God. As what? A living sacrifice. Worship God with your whole entire lives. I love how Eugene Peterson puts this in the message. Your everyday walking around concrete lives. Take those lives. And he uses cultic languages here. Or language here. Everybody knows what he's talking about when he talks about a sacrifice. You no longer have to put a dove on the altar. But what do? You crawl up there and give your very life in response to all that God has done for you. Paul makes it clear. In all that we do, we worship God by serving God. We give our entire lives to serving God and serving others. God says, I've got something for you to do. God calls us to be vessels of grace, to give this grace that he has given us, to give it to others. And there's more good news. He empowers us to make a difference in the lives of others. Grace is the power to make a difference in the lives of others, to live beyond ourselves. You know, Paul picks this up also in Ephesians. It's amazing. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, you know, very familiar verse, "For it is by what? Grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is what? The gift of God, not by works." So he wants to make it clear, our response is not earning salvation. It's a response to what God has already done, so that no one can boast. We can't get big heads. Then immediately following that verse, I find it so interesting. He says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, not saved by good works, but created in grateful response to what God has done for us." What? We serve. And that word workmanship is this beautiful Greek word. It's poema, where we get our word poem. Every one of you is God's poem. A unique poem, unlike any other. God has written something on your heart. Just like we were the object of his love before we could do anything, God has also designed us to make a difference in his world. God has written something in our hearts. God saves us, gives us new life, but he gives us something to do. He gives us what we call a ministry. Now, I want to demystify that a little bit, because you think of ministry, you think of these robes and those things. Ministry is really simple. It's being a vessel of grace in a specific way for the benefit of others, or an act of love, or an act of service that meets a need. God has called each one of us to do some sort of ministry, and he gives us a gift, or most likely, a cluster of what we call spiritual gifts to carry out the purpose he has for us. God has gifted each one of us in a unique way, unlike any other, to do his work in the world. Paul says in this Romans passage, each one has been gifted. We have gifts according to the grace that God has given us. Every believer has been given this special grace by God. It's part of the grace package. You know, when we become Christians, however that may happen in your life, we are reconciled to God, we are forgiven, all these great things happen, we're given the Holy Spirit, and we are also, at that time, given these gifts, spiritual gifts, to carry out God's work in the world. God uses these gifts to serve him and to serve people, to build up his church. Like I said before, God just doesn't call us to ministry. He gives us special gifts to do his ministry. He empowers us, and he works primarily through those gifts. Now, I don't have time to go into a lot of details here. You'll have to take a class called Calling for You, where I really can teach this in more detail. But a couple comments here. The word Paul uses here for gift is charisma. The root is charis, grace. So really what this means is grace gift. It's not just a natural ability. And that's important to know. It can be a natural ability that God then infuses with the power of the Holy Spirit. But it is a gift of the Spirit. It's not just a skill. It's something that God has infused with his very Spirit. Something that we do supernaturally for God. When we use our gifts, we are experiencing the Holy Spirit's power. So important for us to know our gifts. So important for us to know how God has wired each one of us. And I want to say this. I think sometimes we look at this theology as spiritual gifts, and we think, oh, that's a cute little part of God's theology. I want to say this. I think it is such an important part of God's plan for our lives. Much of God's will for our life depends on how we are wired. We should serve according to the way that God has wired us, because then we're experiencing the Holy Spirit. This is part of the transformation that we talked about, began talking about a couple weeks ago. God works in us to transform us, to heal us, to grow us. And an important part of that transformation has to do with discovering and using the gifts that God has given to us, allowing them to flourish. They rarely arrive full-blown. You got to use them. You got to exercise them. You got to take risks. Scary places sometimes we have to go to use our gifts. It's a big part of the will of God for our lives. Remember, one of the mottos that we used a couple weeks ago was inward, outward, together. We're on this spiritual journey inward to know God, to know ourselves. Big part of knowing ourselves. Do you know, do you get how important this is to me? I think this is such an important part of the Christian life. Getting to know who we are. Gotta know how God has created you. And important to know how God has gifted you so we play the right position. Now, what's our vision for this church? How does it tie in? Our vision for our church is that every person who is part of this church, member, non-member, I don't care, would know how God has created them. They would know who they are in Christ. They would know God's call upon their life, and then they would serve in some capacity according to their giftedness. Now, there's two ways that we hope to do this, help you do this. One is this class, Calling for You. This is one of the essential experiences that we talked about, part of the pathway of discipleship, one of the courses we hope everybody takes, where we explore how God has wired us, how God has shaped us according to gifts and personality and experiences, other things. That's one way. The other way we would hope you would discover your gifts is that we, as a body of Christ, would call out the gifts in each other. This is part of being in the body of Christ, that we would see the gifts that people have and affirm those gifts and call them out. I would not be here doing this thing today if it wasn't for people in my life who said, you know what, Steve, you may have a gift. I never dreamed I'd be doing this. I remember when I was a sophomore in college, my roommate, who went on to become a great theologian, teaches at Swarthmore College, he asked me if I ever go to seminary. I said, man, God would have to hit me over the head with a sledgehammer to get me to go to seminary. God surprises us. So, call forth the gifts of others. Know our position. You got to know what you bring to the body of Christ. I love this quote by Gordon Cosby, who was the pastor of Church of the Savior in Washington, D.C. He says, and I want you to hear this, Christ makes each of us something unlike any other creation fashioned by God. Something wonderful, exciting, unique, something specifically needed in the body of Christ. This uniqueness, this very self that is so hard to describe, this charismatic person, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the primary gift we bring to the body, and with it, without it, the body is immeasurably impoverished. In other words, each one is needed. Everyone. And everyone is unique. You know, I've taught this class, Calling for You. We called it Gifts for Call. Probably have led 1,000 people through it. At least. And at the end of every class, toward the end, we get this shape of each person and we share it. You know, I have never come across two exactly the same. It's true. Each one of us brings something unique. Now, important to know it, important to use it. And this is what Paul says at the end. He says, use your gifts. Don't just sit on it. Your gifts can remain dormant if you never use them. Tragedy. Some Christians never really discover who they are in Christ. You got to use them. You got to exercise your gifts, and you will flourish. You will grow. Do you hear what Paul said? He said, man, if your gift is giving, then give generously. If you're a leader, then lead. If you serve, then serve. If you teach, teach. Use your gift. God calls us to serve. God calls us to use our gifts. Great way to belong. Great way to grow. Do it. Now I'm going to call my wife up. Some of you don't know Leslie. This is Leslie Shibstead.
Hi.
Yeah. Okay. So Leslie, it's been a joy to watch you grow these 25 years since you really began this journey of discovering who you are in Christ. I've really witnessed a transformation. This is real stuff. So tell us, how did this journey begin?
I would say in two ways. Not until I was about 31 did I have more self-awareness about my own spiritual gifts and how God created me to serve in the world. So two things happened very close together. When we lived in Burlingame, I was involved with the Burlingame Mothers Club. It was a group of 130 women coming together to support one another in the early years of raising children, which was an amazing experience. And I served on the board of that group. And I was the vice president of community outreach my first year. And the second year, it was late August, and there was no president for the Mothers Club. And I'll never forget, it was right after Allie was born, and I had her at the meeting, and I was actually nursing her. And everyone looked at me, and they said, you have to be the president. And I thought, really? Me? They're like, yes, you have to do this. And so I unwillingly said, okay, I'll be the president. And it was an amazing year of building a community with these amazing moms. We grew from 130 members to 210 members. I led the meetings. I went to all the events. And a big takeaway for me was my job as president was to serve my vice presidents and really empower them to do their work. And that's how we were successful. The other thing that happened around that same time is I took the Gifts and Call class Steve mentioned. And boy, it was a real aha moment for me. And at the age of 30, 31, just realizing how unaware of my own gifts I had been and how empowering and liberating it was to understand how God had created me, and then to really use that to inform how I made decisions going forward.
So what did you discover in that class that was surprising for you?
So part of the class is you take this spiritual gifts inventory, and I probably should have been tipped off because there were a lot of questions about, are you drawn to very needy people who need a lot of hand-holding to get through life? And I kept saying, no, no, no. So anyway, the results of the test came back, and I was horrified to discover I scored 0 in mercy. So that was a takeaway. So, you know, maybe I'm not the best candidate for Mercy Ministries. My key gifts are knowledge, wisdom, leadership, and discernment, which were not really things I had understood about myself, and it took a while to sort of internalize that, but understanding what my spiritual gifts are has really helped God shape me and prepare me for other roles in the future.
And Leslie, I think those gifts were surprising. Probably the most surprising one was leadership. Tell me why that, or tell us why that might have been surprising for you. What was holding you back from seeing that in yourself?
Right. Well, I was socialized through my childhood and young adulthood to, I would say, be informed by more traditional gender-conforming roles, a very conservative background. So the notion of a woman leading just wasn't something that was on my radar screen. I didn't have a lot of role models, and so that was surprising.
So what did you do then when you discovered these things?
I quit my job.
We were poor. We were very poor at that point. I said, honey, I was just preaching. You don't have to take this seriously. But I think what's important here is that was a risk.
Right.
Right. You discovered that you really weren't doing the thing that you were gifted to do.
Right. So I quit my job and started my own company, and that led to a career in fundraising, which is what I do now.
So tell us, what do you do now? What are you doing with, or what have you done these years that have really grown, specifically this leadership gift?
Right. So I went back to work full-time about the time our kids were in junior high and high school, and I served as a frontline fundraiser at Chico State for 7 years, and my boss retired, and the VP asked me if I would serve in an interim AVP role, which meant I would be leading a team of my former peers and helping launch the institution's first ever campaign. And as I talked to trusted advisors in my life, people who knew this vice president said, I don't know if you want to work with him. He's kind of ineffective. But anyway, I decided to go for it. And that was my first professional role as a leader. And I think at that point, the kids were in college and high school. So I sort of came to this work later in my career. But it was an amazing experience, and I was really honored to have that opportunity.
So do you find purpose? How has this changed your life? Do you feel like you find purpose in what you do? And how does this influence that?
Yeah, so I think for me, it's really easy to compartmentalize the spiritual aspect of what it means to be a human being. And so for me, this has been a really great way to sort of understand how my spiritual gifts and the gifts that God has given me uniquely can be deployed not just in the church setting, but in every aspect of my life, and especially in my professional career. And it has helped me make decisions, because when I'm asked to do something that I know really isn't a good fit, then I can say no with confidence, which I think is really a helpful tool in your toolkit. And also, it helps me understand how to empower others to have impact, because I understand how I'm equipped to have impact. Kind of like the old airplane thing that you hear. Oh, well, probably none of us pay attention, but in the case of emergency, the oxygen mask will drop and you put your own on before you help the person next to you. So that's kind of how I view this work.
And what purpose do you find in this, in using your gifts?
Well, I feel strongly that through my work, I'm able to make a difference, not only through the folks who benefit from the funds that myself and my team raise, but also in how I'm able to empower those around me to really fulfill their potential to do their greatest and highest work to impact others.
Yeah. And finally, you're starting a new job.
I am.
And what are you doing?
So starting next Monday, I'll be serving as the interim campaign director for Berkeley. Go Bears!
Which the plan is to raise $6 billion. So I don't think I'm going to see her very much in the next couple of years. But amazing for me to think of this young woman that I married and to see this journey, to be able to observe this growth and this flourishing of gifts in her, to really become who she is in Christ. And that is the transformation that happens, I think. When we discover, when we grow, when we take risks to put ourselves in positions where we have to rely on God's power, it's true. It's not just theology. Amen? Let's pray and we'll close this. Lord, we thank you for, oh, your grace that reconciles us to you, that forgives, gives us new life, that also walks with us and empowers us and grows us through life. God, I pray for our church that we would be a place where gifts are called forth, where each person is appreciated and loved, and celebrated for what they bring to the body of Christ. This is a beautiful picture that you give us of the church, and we're grateful for it. We pray that we could live into that vision. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.